Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 16th. We'll talk with a guest this hour about why contamination fears and a growing global marketplace are spurring a revival in the irradiation debate. Do you want more of your food treated with radiation to sterilize it? Or do you fear this? If food is irradiated, should it be prominently labeled with a big bold sign saying treated by irradiation? Or would it be okay to label it pasteurized or something a little less scary? The FDA is considering that change. We will talk this hour about what foods are already being nuked and whether more foods should be treated with irradiation. And we'll talk about this renewed debate and interest in irradiation. We'll also welcome your questions and your viewpoints on this for our guest at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Do you think that irradiating food is a good idea or not? Advocates say it's a necessary answer to all the foodborne illnesses like the E. coli outbreaks that we've experienced in spinach and meats. Opponents say it's just a quick fix and a troubling fix to poor sanitation practices. We wonder what you say. Our guest is Jim Motivalli. He is editor of E, the environmental magazine. The magazine's cover story this month, the July-August edition of E, is Nuking Food, Contamination Fears and Market Possibilities Spur an Irradiation Revival. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. First, just exactly what is irradiation? What does that do?
Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. They use a byproduct of the nuclear industry, specifically cobalt-59 or cobalt-60. Actually, it's cobalt-60 when it's actually used. And it is placed in rods, you know, like nuclear fuel rods. And it's, you know, you'd have to call it low-level waste at that point. And the food is exposed to that. And it kills pathogens, as you mentioned. E. coli is a prominent one. Probably kill you too.
if we sat right next to it. But does eating spinach that might be treated with this irradiation process is that safe?
Well, I think that the government has deemed it safe, but you're going to get into a whole big debate of whether it really is safe. There's lots of opponents who say it's dangerous and that it's going to hurt you, and we shouldn't be irradiating food, and certainly that we shouldn't be irradiating it and then not letting people know that it was irradiated. Mm-hmm. It's debatable, actually, at this point, exactly how much of our food is irradiated. A third of commercial spices are irradiated, and in 2000, I have statistically, FDA reported that 97 million pounds of food products were irradiated, and it's probably around that much, probably around 100 million pounds.
Yeah, and do we know what foods are irradiated right now if we're at the grocery store?
I think meat is one of the most common. There's another reason to be a vegetarian.
Well, I am, but what is it?
Does so am
it,
I.
If I were at the meat counter, would I see a big sign on a package of meat that says this was irradiated?
I believe there's somewhere on the package is going to be a little, what they call the radura, which is a little nuclear symbol. Mm-hmm. It looks like a flower in a broken circle, and should say treated with irradiation or treated by irradiation. But the FDA, as you mentioned earlier, has proposed that they want to change it. The industry obviously wants to change it, so it would not say that. And as you say, it might say pasteurized or something innocuous. The public certainly isn't going to get all that exercised over the word pasteurized, but the word irradiated still carries a pretty strong message and people are still pretty afraid of it.
Yeah. But we also don't like, E. coli killing our children.
Yes, and actually, E. coli in meat is still a huge problem. And there are several websites, I don't have the addresses in front of me, but parents of children who have contracted E. coli poisoning that way have put up some powerful websites of children who were killed by, say, fast food burgers. It's less common now. It's very uncommon now. Partly as a result, people probably heard of that big Jack in the Box incident where E. coli got into hamburger. But since then, the food industry, the fast food industry, has raised the temperature, and I don't think you can get a rare hamburger at most fast food chains these days.
But it's not just meat. We know that the spinach had had E. coli.
Right, you can get E. coli in just about anything. Mm-hmm. There was a recent outbreak in California-grown spinach, and that killed three people. So E. coli is a powerful killer, and people need to know about it. Even if your spinach says triple washed, it still can be contaminated with E. coli or something like that.
Yeah. So opponents say there are other ways to protect ourselves from E. coli, and we should not be irradiating food to destroy E. coli?
Right. They might say, in the case of meat, there are other foodborne illnesses in meat. Salmonella is one. Campylobacter is another one. These are pretty powerful also. You can get Campylobacter from eggs that haven't been, salmonella from mm-hmm. eggs that haven't been cooked properly. And they would say, or the critics would say, that there are practices that the meat industry uses routinely, basically to save money, that would encourage the spread and the occurrence of infections. And a lot of that has to do with what you might call factory food or factory farming practices, where with meat, for instance, they pack chickens very, very closely together. You might have 20,000, 30,000 of them in one room. Right. So you can have these foodborne illnesses.
Let me hold you there because we have a weather break that we need to take to see what it's going to be like today in Wisconsin. And then we'll continue talking about the pros and cons of food irradiation. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 16th. Coming up this afternoon, At Issue with Ben Marins. And Ben continues his series of interviews with presidential candidates after 4:30. He welcomes in presidential candidate Mike Gravel. Join Ben Marins this afternoon for At Issue. We are talking with Jim Motivalli. He is editor of E, the environmental magazine. The magazine's cover story this month, the July-August edition, is Nuking Food. Contamination fears and market possibilities spur an irradiation revival. We're wondering if irradiating food is a good idea or not, whether you think the claims that irradiating food will make it safer by sterilizing it. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, or if you're an opponent who think this is an unsafe and troubling fix. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you want your food treated with radiation to sterilize it, to lessen the possibilities of E. coli or some other foodborne illness? Or, and if so, do you want the product clearly labeled so you know exactly what you're getting? Do you want it to say this product treated with radiation, or would it be okay if it just said pasteurized on it? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We'll go to the phones in just a moment, but Jim, besides the concerns over foodborne illnesses, what else is spurring this revival in irradiation?
Well, the food industry would want to import a whole lot more produce than it does now. And, you know, partly because we have so many more immigrants, I think there's a market for exotic fruit. And as we note in the story, in our story in E! Magazine in the July-August issue, India grows 1,000 varieties of mangoes, and very few of them are imported here, but that may change. And the industry wants to import fruit and vegetables from all over the world. That's not coming here now. And
why can't Indian mangoes come here now if they're not irradiated?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern about whether their health practices are the same as ours. Obviously, the China food scare has got a lot of people worried about contamination and things that might come in with the fruit, things like that. And irradiating also increases the shelf life of fruits and vegetables, which makes it a lot easier to market them. Same reason they put preservatives in food. We may not like it, but it increases the amount of time it can be on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. I've done programs on this before, and it seems to me that we've heard from scientists who say this is perfectly safe.
Well, to be fair, you know, a lot of pretty prominent organizations endorse it, and among them are the World Health Organization, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the American Medical Association all say that it's perfectly safe. Arrayed against them are some small grassroots groups, and you can look at it as, you know, agribusiness versus the public interest, or you can look at it any way you want, but there's arguments to be made on both sides of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally agree with the Center for Science and the Public Interest, which says that irradiation is a high-tech, end-of-the-line solution to contamination problems that can and should be addressed earlier.
Yeah,
and I think it has a lot to do, in particular with, if you look at the meat industry, you can see this writ large.
Yeah, that was a funny quote from the executive director who says, consumers prefer to have no filth on meat rather than to have that filth sterilized by irradiation.
Yeah, and as I said, the practices of our meat industry, I think, tends to not encourage, but allow contamination to occur. It doesn't, it's not designed to prevent it. I think in Europe, where they started to move away from factory food production, I think this is one of the concerns about it. For instance, E. coli is spread by fecal matter, and the way we raise cows puts a lot of cows close together, and their fecal matter can get smeared onto each other, and that can still be there when the meat is processed. So that does cause people concern.
To the phones, Jamie and Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just really had two comments. The first one is, I'd like to maybe hear more about the physics behind radiation. I think, in my mind, it's perfectly safe. It would be no difference than chopping your steak up with knives. The only other concern I have is that if we're not careful in processing the food before we irradiate it and we have a high microbial burden on the food, then we would leave toxins behind after we kill the bacteria. So I didn't know if that was going to be a topic of discussion today. And I'm unfortunately going to have to listen off the air here.
All right. You want to talk a little bit more about the process, Jim?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's simply exposing food to radioactive cobalt-60. And again, this is a byproduct of the nuclear industry. We're actually looking at a big expansion of nuclear power. Certainly that's what the Bush administration wants. And you can look at a map of the U.S. dotted with proposed nuclear plants. So we're going to have more nuclear waste, and obviously nuclear waste is a big problem for the nuclear industry. So they would like to have this option. If you look at fluoride, oddly enough, fluoride began as a byproduct of the nuclear industry too. And people worry about whether that's safe or not. And so essentially you have this cobalt-60 pellet. They're in pellet form, and they're within long, thin stainless steel rods, similar to the ones that are used in nuclear power plants. And the food is given a brief exposure to that. It only takes about half an hour, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jamie. Dan in Mosinee. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Teaching, I'm a science teacher up here in Mosinee, and whenever students to me mention about the radiation, I say it's perfectly fine. Exposure to radiation doesn't make your food radioactive. You're not altering the DNA of your food in any way. We use radiation all the time. We put food in microwave ovens. We're outside where we're exposed to radiation. I see no problem with radiating food. I would rather see the radiation than the bacteria. Mm-hmm. That's my comment.
Yeah, well, what about Dan? Do you think the meat processors and others should make sure that you don't have the bacteria on the meat to begin with?
Well, I think it's a question of what you're willing to pay for. In order to meet the demand, they have to run a lot of cattle through to keep us in food. So if we're willing to pay the price for it, I certainly see no problem with that. But, by nature, animals are living things. They, just like we are, they eat, they defecate, they're with each other. It is impossible to sterilize our food. One of the things I keep telling especially my biology students, is how detached we are from our food supply, and that having perfectly harmless, sterile food is impossible because all our food comes from living things, and living things are by nature contaminated with all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. That's why we have an immune system. That's why we have a digestive system. So this scare that, or this idea that we can somehow come up with perfectly sterile food is a myth. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. Jim?
Yes, Bo. I think the ultimate truth of this to me is that we don't really know the health effects of long-time exposure to an irradiated diet. Obviously, irradiating it does have some effect on the food. The groups like Food and Water Watch will tell you that it breaks down the bonds in plant cells, for instance, and that who knows what that does. There's a lot of very respected science who will tell you that it's perfectly safe. I would argue not so much that it's not safe. I don't have enough evidence to say this is not safe. But I do think that people should know that their food was irradiated, and we shouldn't use euphemisms like pasteurized. Obviously, irradiated is a negative word. People don't want to see that on their food. Now, whether people support this would totally depend on how you ask the question. If you said, do you want your food sterilized so that you won't get exposed to foodborne illness? Obviously, most people would say yes. If you say, do you want your food irradiated by a byproduct of the nuclear industry, they'd probably say no. So that's why I think that's why the FDA is looking to change that word irradiated. But that's what it is, and that's what we really should call it.
Yeah, we have only 30 seconds before a news break. The FDA was taking public comment on this proposed change up until last month.
Yeah, I think that's mm-hmm. over now.
Yeah. We will ask you, do you want your food irradiated or more of it irradiated? And if so, what kind of label do you want to see on this food in the supermarket? Do you want it to say this was treated with radiation, or do you want it to say something like pasteurized? Would that be good enough? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Thursday, August the 16th. And we're talking about the renewed debate over irradiating food. And whether or not you support irradiating more food in our food supply, advocates say that this cuts down on foodborne illnesses. It sterilizes the food. Opponents say that you don't need to be treating food with radioactivity to make it safe, and they fear that this is just a way to encourage the food industry to have poor sanitation practices. What do you think? What questions do you have? And should food be irradiated, do you want to know exactly, do you want it labeled clearly that this has been treated by radiation or by irradiation? Or what do you think of the FDA proposing a change to the labeling rule that would replace the word irradiation with a more consumer-friendly word like pasteurized? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Jim Motivalli. He is editor of E, the environmental magazine. The magazine's July-August issue has a cover story on this issue, Nuking Food, Contamination Fears and Market Possibilities Spur an Irradiation Revival. Our next caller is Christopher in East Troy. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy, and to your guest.
Morning.
I've been paying attention to this subject for over 20 years. They've been trying to do stuff like this forever. They don't want a label because they know the customer were rejected. It has happened in the past. The experience that they have is don't label it irradiated. People will not take it. Many businesses have come and gone because of that. What they will try to do is put the stuff into food service institutions and restaurants where most people don't understand labels. They won't put it on the menu. It's the grocery stores that they fear. They're putting it on the shelves in the grocery stores that they want to get away from. This is another reason for people to consume local foods and organic foods. And this changing of the wordage is kind of sinister because they keep on trying to push this down our throats, but most of the times it fails, and hopefully with the help of your guest, we can overcome this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christopher. Jim Motivalli?
Yeah, I think it's probably true that most people don't read labels. They don't read the nutrition information on a pack of cookies before they eat the cookies, for instance. And probably a lot of people are eating irradiated food without having any idea, even though that label probably is on there. You know, there's a lot of different product information on any packaged food item, and I don't think we notice it all that much. But I think if, for instance, a grocery store put a big sign that said irradiated on a display of apples, for instance, people would notice that. And if it said ultra-pasteurized, they wouldn't give it a second thought. They would just think that it went through some process that made it, ensured that it was safe. People have a pretty high confidence in the safety of food they buy shrink-wrapped in supermarkets, I would say.
Yeah. Are we eating a lot of irradiated food when we go out to a restaurant?
Quite likely. And, you know, it's similar, if you look at it as similar to genetic engineering. About half of our food is genetically engineered now, and that's something consumers don't think about, and there's no labeling requirements at all for genetic engineering. As your caller said, really the only way to avoid it is to eat organic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the particulars about this, but I would assume that most organic produce, most if not all, is not irradiated. But I may be wrong in that. Maybe some of your guests have more information about that. But I don't think you could be irradiated and still retain an organic label.
Jane in Madison is with us now. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I'm concerned about labeling irradiated food as pasteurized because that's deceptive. That's a lie. But a concern I have irradiated...
Jane, excuse me, I didn't hear what you said. Pasteurized what is a lie?
Calling it pasteurized is a lie, you mean?
Yes, if it's labeled pasteurized when it's irradiated, that's deceptive, mm-hmm. and that is a lie. But the concern I have about irradiation is that it can do DNA damage or change DNA structure, and that in turn, I'm concerned if that would affect our intestinal tract, our ability to absorb other foods later on or have other negative effect on our digestive tract because of the change in molecular structure.
Yeah, but do most does it really damage our DNA, Jim Motivalli?
I don't think that it would actually affect the DNA of the food you eat, or really affect your own DNA. I don't think that would actually be what you would worry about. As this group Food and Water Watch says, it can be the equivalent of lots of chest X-rays passing through. It's like giving an X-ray to the plant. You look at it that way, mm-hmm. and it can break down the cells, the bonds between cells in plants, and we simply don't know what the health effects of that are. And as I mentioned before, not to get alarmist here, a lot of highly respected health organizations have pronounced it safe.
Yeah. Is it a lie to say this is pasteurized? What is pasteurization? Is she right by saying that's a lie by putting pasteurized on the label instead of irradiated?
I think it's a stretch to call it pasteurized. If I'm not mistaken, pasteurization is simply heating things up so hot that it kills all the bacteria that's on the that's present there.
Yeah.
And so it's maybe has some similarities to pasteurization, but I think we should call it what it is.
The FDA rule change, does it specifically say we can change this to pasteurized, or is it up in
the air? No, it just says that they, I think that would be one of the possible euphemisms they would use.
Mm-hmm. Do you know when the FDA is going to decide on this issue?
Well, I know that the public comment period ended last month. I don't know how long it's going to take them to actually come up with a ruling on this.
Frank in Madison is with us now. Hi, Frank.
Good morning. My comment is basically I agree with what your guest is saying. Essentially, the use of radiation or irradiation would cause a higher risk to the consumer, and these risks would be that it would lower the sanitary standard of raising and producing and bringing to market food. It also adds the element cobalt to the food processing chain. And these two elements will cause more errors. And with the mistakes and the kind of mistakes we're seeing now with just getting E. coli, for example, in our meat products, we'll start seeing cobalt in our food products. I'll take my comments off the air.
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
I think the essential problem is the fast pace and factory-like conditions in our, particularly in our meat industry. Like, for instance, on a poultry slaughterhouse line, you may process 200 birds per minute, and I don't think that gives really the option of checking very carefully for like fecal contamination or other impurities that might sneak into the process there. I think it's largely a low-wage or minimum-wage type of job, largely performed by immigrants, and it's also working under very dangerous conditions. If you read anything about the way slaughterhouses operate, and I think there's a lot in there that could happen to contaminate the meat. It's a very profitable way of raising meat. That's why our meat is so cheap. The beef industry and the meat industry in general would like to keep conditions the way they are. And I think irradiation is kind of a quick fix to allow that to continue.
Our guest is Jim Motivalli. He is editor of E, the environmental magazine. We're talking about the magazine's current issue, cover story in the current issue, which is about nuking food. It's about the revival in irradiation or the interest in irradiation of our food by some who want to use it to clean up, sanitize foodborne illnesses, and others who want to import more fruits and vegetables and foods from other countries, saying that this irradiation would help in doing that. We wonder what you think, if you think it's okay to irradiate food or not, what kind of label you'd like to see on food if it is irradiated. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 16th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, should we reinstate a military draft? We heard the war czar late last week saying that this is an option that has always been on the table, and we'll wonder if you think it ought to stay there. Coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking about the pros and cons of irradiating food this hour with Jim Motivalli, who is editor of E, the environmental magazine, which has a story on the irradiation debate in its July-August issue. Mark in Rockton is next. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for an excellent show. I first want to emphasize that your guest was right, but I want to reinforce the fact that under the Organic Food Production Act and the regulations here in Wisconsin, radiation is absolutely, and I'm sorry, not just in Wisconsin, the United States, radiation is absolutely prohibited from organic production.
I was going to clarify that. It's interesting to note, however, that the industry has attempted to have radiation allowed for organic foods, and they've been working on that since the late 1990s. And you probably heard the industry also want to put sewage sludge into organics. They would also like irradiation to be part of the process, but as your caller says, it's not allowed currently.
Yes, that was part of the first draft rule in 1997, and I don't think that's on the table anymore. That was there were 300,000 consumers that, and farmers that chimed in to say no way. But this whole controversy is not about making food safe for consumers. This is about making industrial processes safe for agribusiness. That right now they have a rule that's going to allow them to, quote, pasteurize raw almonds. Now, it doesn't include irradiation right now. But let's be plain. This is about having fecal matter on our food and somehow treating it so it kills that instead of, as your guest suggests, running a higher quality, safer production system both on the farm and in the processing environment.
Yeah. Mark, I appreciate the call. I got a kind of a poor connection on your cell phone. Hard to hear you. So let me get a response, though, from Jim Motivalli.
Well, I think he put it very concisely. It is indeed part of a high-volume, high-profit industrial food process network, and it's a win-win for industry because the nuclear industry has all this nuclear waste it's having trouble getting rid of. I'm sure we're all aware of that issue. And it's not expensive for the food industry, but it does kill these pathogens that can be a huge problem for them, like E. coli, Salmonella, Campylobacter. So it's not surprising they want to use it.
We did hear from the science teacher, though, in our first half hour, who brought up the point that, you know, it costs a lot of money to have, you know, more inspectors and, you know, more processes put in place that keep it cleaner. How much, you know, how much money can the government afford in inspecting and the businesses?
Well, let me address that in directly in relation to the recent Chinese food scare.
Mm-hmm.
The Europeans, and I think if you want to look at a gold standard for food inspection, that's it. They inspect far more of the produce. They probably inspect like a quarter or more of all the produce that comes in. Where in the U.S., it's probably more like 5%. And when they encounter a problem with any batch, then they inspect 100% of it. We don't have anything like that. I think a process like that probably would have caught the contaminated pet food that ended up on the market here in the United States. If you say we can't afford more food inspection, then we have to be prepared for that kind of extremely dangerous distribution of adulterated and poisoned food into the marketplace in the United States, because that is the consequence of our saying we can't afford more food inspectors.
Yeah. Paul and Slinger, hi, you're on the air.
Thanks, good morning. Well, there's several issues here. One is, of course, poisoned food versus preservation of good food. And I think, that, first of all, there's two, as I understand it, and maybe you need a nuclear or molecular scientist here to address this the issue, but there's one way is you Titan Corporation makes them, as a matter of fact. You can check it out on their website, but they make a machine that does just electron bombardment of the food, and it's not a radioactive source. It's generated by a with electrical energy and a device. And then, of course, you have one which uses radioactive material. But in either case, there is absolutely zero residual radiation on the food. They're killing microorganisms. And, in fact, most spices that you buy in the store are irradiated, or you'd have little insects crawling around in them when you buy them.
Yeah, even if it is safe, Paul, our guest is saying, and others are saying, even if it is safe, this is just going to encourage the food manufacturers and the meat industry to just be even dirtier than they are now.
Well, you handle that by still mandating procedures that would preclude that. But the point is, even if you have perfectly prepared meat or limes or lemons, and you can store them at room temperature, and they'll last for 6 months after you irradiate them. Say you just use the electron bombardment method. You don't have any waste. A lot of these people are opposed to it because some of the producers, because the line, there's a certain time period, and you have to pitch them. And that's a huge waste, particularly in poor countries. I just think that we have to spend more time. Like, for example, I would like to know if the electron bombardment method would destroy prions in meat. That's a question I was always going to check out, and I'd ask a food scientist. Maybe you need a group of scientists that can address the alteration of the molecular structure of the various vitamins and other components of food.
I don't know, Paul, if we're running short on time here. Do you know anything about this electron bombardment method, Jim?
No, I've never heard of that, but sounds like one drawback of it could be that it's more expensive. As I said, the reason that nuclear exposure is a win-win is it's pretty inexpensive because you're dealing with a byproduct that the industry wants to get rid of anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And this method may be more expensive. I would agree with a caller that I imagine that there is no residual radiation on the food. What is of concern and what some of the critics say is, what is the effect on the food at the cellular level of the radiation? And that's something I think we don't know very much about, nor do we know the long-term consequences of eating a diet that's been irradiated. I don't think there's been a whole lot of study of that.
In
the same way, there's not a whole lot of study of genetic engineered food and what mm-hmm. that does and how that affects you.
I think your article pointed out that astronauts have been eating irradiated food, since the 70s or something.
Yeah,
like
but they don't eat it all the time.
Right.
They're not in space that long.
Yeah. What about his point? I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was that this preserves food and food can last longer.
That's definitely a positive of mm-hmm. it, and that's one of the reasons they use it with produce is it increases the shelf life. It delays the ripening process. If you're going to import food from India or China, it's going to have a long, long crossing. It does keep it fresh longer. Mm-hmm. So that is one reason they do it.
Now we go to Sheldon and Marinette. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I think one of the problems with irradiation is we've been trying to sterilize our life as much as possible. I mean, with the new antibacterial stuff that comes out, the cleaners and everything else, I think we've carried it to an extreme. They've done several studies on farm children, for instance, and how much healthier they are than kids that are brought up in the cities. And the main reason was they're exposed to more bacteria, and consequently their own antibodies are allowed to take over and set up a defense mm-hmm. for future use. And in the process, I think we're breeding a nation of weaklings, and we're trying to defy one of nature's oldest rules, and that's the survival of the fittest.
Mary, want to comment on that, Jim?
Well, I think we've all seen the process whereby we can go to a country, a third world country, and we get sick while eating the same diet that leaves the natives perfectly healthy. And it's true that look what happened when we conquered the New World and the native populations got all of our diseases. I mean, he has a certain point to make there, but that doesn't mean that we should be exposed to E. coli and other foodborne illnesses like that. I think we have to do what we can to eliminate those in the food supply. So while he made a good point, I don't think it's necessarily relevant for when we talk about these very serious bacteria.
A quick one. Paul in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I was going to bring up the fact that the cobalt-60 that's used for irradiating food is not a byproduct of nuclear waste. I study nuclear engineering and the reprocessing of waste. And the cobalt-60 that's used right now is a special product that's created specifically for this.
No.
It doesn't come out of nuclear waste. It's put in the special cobalt-59 targets that are turned into cobalt-60, and they would only be generated for use in this irradiation process.
I don't mean to cut you short, or you either, Jim, but we only have less than 30 seconds.
He may be right. I know that they use cobalt-59 in nuclear power plants, and that it's converted to cobalt-60 during the reaction process. I would assume that it does come out of the industry. It's possible that some of it does not.
Thank you very much for being with us.